They're coming to get you. They're coming for you, Barbara.
They're coming to get you.
Coming to get you, Barbara.
This is They're Coming to Get You. My name is Brent Terhune.
My name is Gavin Eddings. And Brent, did you see the clock?
What about the clock?
It just became 3:15.
Oh, time to take our shirts off.
3:15 in the afternoon. Kids are coming home from school. What's up, kids?
Hey, coming home from school to wake me up.
Because I've been working all goddamn day.
Oh, I like in that scenario that I'm working and not just waking up.
No, you just did a hard shift at the plant.
That's what I'll call it. By that, I mean maker's mark. That's what Dad calls it when he drinks. A hard shift at the plant. I did a double last night.
This is They're Coming to Get You, though. It's a horror movie podcast for people who enjoy horror movies, and I guess just us. But we are covering today a movie that I was pleasantly surprised in revisiting, and that is 2005's The Amityville Horror. It's a second of our Patreon Picks episodes. If you want to become a Patreon subscriber, please do so over at patreon.com/They're Coming to Get You. This is voted on by our Patreon subscribers. So if you want a movie you want us to cover, the easiest way to do it is to give us money to do it that way.
Hey, that's like most things. You gotta pay to play, baby, unless it's the other 10 episodes we just gave you for free. No, but hey, if you just want to go over there and support the show, if not, that's cool too. But we do bonus episodes that will never see the light of day, maybe, hopefully, I don't know. And then you get access to our Patreon, our Discord. We have built a community over there.
Yeah, we got a lot of great people over there who want to hang out with you and be your friend. So if you're low on friends, for just $2 a month, you can get access to our Discord server.
By your friends, like we have.
Like a fraternity.
What are we in? I felt a thigh or I tap a keg? Am I right?
Am I right? Am I right, guys? Listen, here, all I'm talking about is like, were you, I assume you weren't, but were you ever in a fraternity or like around fraternity people?
No, I was like, I'm not hanging out with those D-bags. And then when everybody that I know that's an adult that was in a frat or sorority now has like 1,000 friends across the country. And I'm like, yeah, I should have just been friends. And I should have done that in college because now I can look up I tap a kegs all over the world and stay at their place if I wanted to.
I should have done something so I could have like connections. I feel like that really would have come in handy. Networking. One of my friends in college, he was a TEEK, which is I think Tau Kappa Epsilon.
Yep.
He was.
Super... I'm an alpha, by the way. So you're a beta. So.
I was gonna say I'm the omega, but whatever. I see how it is. But all I know about the teaks, they were teaks, and during our fall festival, they had a booth, and they always had like teak stroms. They had strombolis. They were okay.
Yeah. Hey, they're okay. You want an okay sandwich? Come on over here.
I just remember one time somebody said, don't call it a frat. You wouldn't call your country a cunt. And I was like, what?
What?
We're really jumping to some conclusions there. So
wouldn't I call it a count?
Listen, I don't know.
A one, a two.
yes. But we are revisiting the haunted house movie, The Amityville Horror from 2005, starring a young Ryan Reynolds, who really hadn't blown up yet, but he was on his way to being a big star.
I pulled up his IMDb because I accidentally watched Van Wilder for this. And then, gotta be honest. But Van Wilder was my introduction to Ryan Reynolds, but he'd also been in Two Guys, a Girl, and a Pizza Place. And then some other stuff. But that was like the big thing was Ryan... God damn it, I can't speak.
Ryan Reynolds?
Yeah, Van Wilder.
Van Wilder.
That's what I'm saying. Or Harold and Kumar Go to White Castle. He was in that as well. But then it was like, man, this guy's just handsome. Isn't he just handsome?
He's a handsome dude. I remember, so he was always handsome, and he's also very funny. He's very charming.
Charming?
Yeah, very funny, very charming. And he was also in, but he had his big glow up in Blade Trinity because he played a vampire hunter, and that's when he got that body. Yeah, he got that.
I'm creaming jeans just thinking about it.
Mm-hmm. Fun thing about Ryan Reynolds is that on Twitter, he is Van City Reynolds on Twitter because there is a Evansville Courier and Press writer for our newspaper whose name is Ryan Reynolds. And he got to Twitter first and has Ryan Reynolds. I've hung out with him. The Courier and Press Ryan Reynolds, not regular Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah, I figured you would open with that. Hey, sorry, my good friend.
My good friend Ryan Reynolds, Deadpool. You may have heard of him. But anytime something happens with Ryan Reynolds, people will tweet at the Courier and Press Ryan Reynolds, like really mad. And he's like, I'm not him. I'm not him.
Yeah.
But I think
hey, bruv, why'd you buy my soccer club? Football club, sorry.
Oh, I don't like your whiskey. What are you doing with your fucking whiskey?
Mint Mobile. And this guy's got his own phone company or whatever he does with those commercials.
Yeah, I'm just trying to get on Boost Mobile. That's all I'm trying to do.
Well, and then let's not leave out his co-star in this movie. Old What's-Her-Face. I have pulled up.
Melissa George?
Melissa George, yeah. I did what I mostly do when I watch movies. I look at the IMDb because I'll be like, that's somebody, right?
Yeah.
I didn't realize that she was also the co-star in 30 Days a Night, which we just covered not too long ago.
Yeah, she's had a good life. She's gotten to kiss Josh Hartnett. She's gotten to kiss Ryan Reynolds. I don't know why I'm...
All my dreams.
I don't know why I'm boiling her dream down to just kissing handsome boys. That's probably problematic of me.
This does not pass the Bechdel test.
Because you and I are talking about a woman talking about a man.
Oh, in the movie Triangle. I want to suggest that movie to anybody that loves horror movies that may have never heard of that. I really like that movie. It's one where it ended and then I had to go Google it and be like, what happened? Not because it was bad, because it was good.
Oh, yeah.
Triangle.
You're like, I liked watching this movie, so now I need to go watch a 45-minute video essay about this movie.
That's kind of how some of the best movies, I'm like, what? Wait, what? And then I like it even more once I watch the supplemental material, you know?
Yes. Now, Amityville is a very popular setting for a horror movie. Mm-hmm. Amityville has so many... I would say it is probably the most famous haunted house in quotation marks because everybody is probably full of shit about how haunted Amityville actually is.
Yeah, to sell some books, possibly, because we at the beginning of this, we have the real crime that took place with Ronnie DeFeo, I guess it would be Junior, killed his family in the house. And, of course, anytime somebody commits a huge crime in a house, it becomes haunted, Gavin.
Yes, it's how it happens, because the souls can't cross over and things like that. I also like that he shot and killed the members of his house at 112 Ocean Avenue, a place where I used to sit and talk to you.
Mm-hmm. Old yellow card, baby.
Yeah. I was really proud of that. I was like, I'm going to write this joke down so I don't forget.
I love that you guys have a violinist in the band. I assume that you're in yellow card.
Hey, don't talk shit about yellow card. I genuinely very much like yellow card.
I only know the one song. I'm not talking shit.
Is it Ocean Avenue?
Yes.
They're very good. I do enjoy them. And I, you know what? I like me some fiddling in my pop punk.
Do you call it a fiddle or violin? Because it's pop punk. If this were country, you'd say fiddle.
I don't know. I don't know. That's what
I call it a chin harp is what I call it. God damn, you know how to play that chin harp.
But this... this also has a crossover with the Warrens from The Conjuring. Mm-hmm. They apparently also went over there and like, oh yeah, it's super fucking haunted. It is.
I feel like anybody that's anybody in the paranormal realm has done something with the house. Because the first movie, have you seen the original Amityville Horror, 1979?
I have seen parts of it, and it was very slow. I just remember, like, the priest is a way bigger character in that movie.
I saw the whole thing and it was very slow to me. And we like last week, we just said we did Invasion of the Body Snatchers, the remake, and we both thought it was very slow.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's like, because you always hear stuff of there's comedy bits. I think it was either Richard Pryor or Eddie Murphy. There's bits about this. I think it was Eddie Murphy talking about the Amityville Horror with the walls bleeding and the goo going down. And like, if you ever heard somebody that grew up with the movie, they say, this is the scariest movie of all time.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, man, maybe I'm wrong, but I found it to be very slow and not my cup of tea.
Yeah, and that's one thing you and I have in common. If a movie is slow with no payoff, there are some very slow movies that are great. I think Midsommar is slow. I've come to appreciate Midsommar a little bit more.
Be pretentious about it.
Midsommar. I also am a big fan of Hereditary. I think that's a very good movie. It's a little slow too, but that's great. But then some movies are like, why are we dragging this out? What are you trying to prove?
To it.
Are you trying to? It's like when somebody makes their YouTube video exactly 8 minutes so they can run mid-roll ads. It's like, are you trying to show more commercials during this movie, Amityville Horror?
Which I've, you know, on Facebook they want 3 minutes, and I think you can monetize shorter ones now. But you could definitely tell when somebody is like, oh, they're stretching this out, and then you look at the comments and it's like, real video starts at 4:28. You can just jump to it.
But this is a remake of the 1977 film Amityville.
79, right?
70. Okay, sorry. The book was in 77, but the movie is 79 onward.
Last week we had Invasion of the Body Snatchers, 78 PG, just a PG, and 79 this comes out and it was rated R.
I don't get it.
And it's been a while since I've seen the original, but maybe it was just rated R because it was so scary.
Yeah, and that happens sometimes. Like the Conjuring films, like the first Conjuring, when we covered it, we talked about this, but it doesn't have any swearing, it doesn't have any nudity, not a lot of violence, but because it's so terrifying, they're like, we can't let 13-year-olds see this.
Yeah. Yeah, it's probably one of those, you know? So you found it to be slow, just parts of it. I agree. I found it to be very slow.
But now, I have to ask if you've seen any of the other Amityville horror movies, like Amityville 2, The Possession, Amityville 3D, Amityville Haunting, Amityville Vanishing Point, Amityville Evil Never Dies, Amityville Poltergeist, Amityville Vampire, Amityville Karen, Amityville Thanksgiving, Amityville Christmas Vacation, The Amityville Slasher, Amityville Apocalypse, Amityville Shark House, Amityville Bigfoot, or Amityville Emmanuel.
Well, Emmanuel, I've seen that one. isn't there going to be one Amityville in space?
There's one in space. There's also Amityville Terror, Amityville Prison, Amityville
in the Hood,
Amityville Doll. There are so many. It's like this. When we talked about Winnie the Pooh, it's a very recognizable thing to just throw on it. Like everybody has like a passing knowledge of like the Amityville house, so. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the fuck Amityville Karen is, but like,
it's mostly filmed on a Ring camera. She's complaining about all the shit in their yard. It is one of those where you could just take Amityville blank because nobody really owns the franchise, I don't think, and just throw it on something. Like you can make sequels to Night of the Living Dead. Or what, without repercussion, I don't even know if that's true, but it's like, let's just piggyback off of it, make it cheap, and it'll hopefully make enough money so that we can all make some money.
Yeah, and Amityville, it's a place. I don't know if you can trademark a city or a town. If you did, like, who's getting paid every time something is called New York?
If you said Castle Rock, which I don't think is real, then you'd have a problem with Stephen King, you know?
Yeah. Oh, I think if you use the word Maine, you have to also pay Stephen King.
What up, Maine? I'm going to have to,
Every time
Gucci Maine.
I was going to say, every time Gucci Maine introduces himself, Stephen King gets $12.
So many of the, and maybe it'd be, we'd have to pick the worst one to watch, but we did that kind of with like Thanksgiving or Jack Frost.
Yes.
Maybe we need to stick to good ones for a little bit, Gavin.
Yes, I know. People be like, please, we can't endure this. Why is this happening? Why are you doing this to us?
Well, how did you, was this your first time watching this one?
No, I saw this in the theater back in 2005. Oh.
Did you sit in the balcony?
I did sit in the balcony. I had my binoculars, and I said, let's see what happens next.
My viewer. I may go to the concession stand for some popped corn.
Popped corn, you say? Perhaps some soda pop. I hear they're using real corn syrup these days.
I will have a milk dude.
A milk dude?
That's like if Mr. Burns was trying to be normal.
Yes, give me a milk dude, please.
Get me a Sour Patch Children. I want three children.
I will say, I saw this in theaters, and I remember liking it. And I may have watched it maybe once over the past couple, over the years. But this is my first time like going back and sitting down and like rewatching it from start to finish again. And I'll be honest with you, this movie, kind of a banger.
I would agree, man. I've seen this once and thought it was, you know, no complaints. But I wasn't going to really rewatch this unless we did it for the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And I watched it back to back with Invasion of the Body Snatchers. This one is so much more, it's quicker. You can't compare the two.
Yeah.
But it was like quick. We got to the point of, this is a tight 90-minute movie. And from the jump, I think you get, it's just into the horror quickly.
Yeah. Much like any, like, this has a great horror movie opening. Because it's just like, well, we got to haunt this house. So we're going to have a dad shoot his kids while they're sleeping. In like the most over...
I think it was the brother. It was the brother.
Was it the brother that did it?
Yeah.
Well, God damn it. I'm just getting everything wrong. I don't know what's happening.
Well, I don't know why that you would know that, but I would listen to true crime stuff about this.
Yeah. But yeah, so somebody shot everybody in this family. Just going room to room. And that is so... It's very in Cold Blood, the Capote book. Just going room to room, like shooting your family members, like family annihilators. Mm-hmm. It's a way to get your attention. Like, you're shooting kids in the first 5 minutes of your movie. I think I'm going to pay attention now.
It's like Stephen King did this, man.
Yeah. Thank you for your $12. It's got a great opening. It's very stylized. Mm-hmm. And you immediately plant the seeds of the catch 'em, kill 'em thing, which is kind of hokey, and we'll get to it. But yeah, hot open, that gets you going.
And we find out pretty quickly that Ryan Reynolds is the stepdad.
Mm-hmm.
To all these kids, and they're, go ahead.
He's the dad that stepped up.
I wouldn't say in this movie that he stepped up. I think he stepped on all of them. he's the stepdad to the family. And I gotta say, raising another man's kids, I could never do that. You never catch me doing that. And they pretty soon they move into this house because there's a lot of comedians that have a bit about this, but I do too. But it's like the house is too good of a deal.
Yes.
Something's wrong with it.
They even say that in there. Again, I do like the opening, though. This is very much a product of 2005 because mm-hmm. the editing of like the opening credits with like the newspaper, it's very much like a Saw movie or the Texas Chainsaw Massacre remake, which we're covering in a couple weeks. It's very like quick edits. You're like, this is a very MTV-style movie. MTV Kids was a channel that was very hyper and played music videos. It was very hip at the time.
That's how you know you're old, when you got to explain what that is.
God, I hate
it. You think you know, but you have no idea.
Back before Ridiculousness played nonstop on it, they used to play music videos. It was like a YouTube that you couldn't watch on demand.
This is Gavin Eddings. He's a podcaster and a YouTuber. He's not here to make friends.
Find out what happens when people stop being polite and start getting real. The real world. They're coming to get you.
I'm just saying, clean your pubic hairs off out of the bathroom. It's the Amityville real world. Real world Amityville.
The real world Amityville. Ronnie DeFeo Jr., I swear to fucking God, if you don't do the fucking dishes, I'm going to shoot everyone in this house.
You weren't there to open the juice bar. You said you were going to be and you didn't.
They gave us a job. I saw you hook up with Lori. I saw you hook up with her, okay? I saw her slinking out the house. I saw her. I smelled her leaving.
Ooh, gross. It's a bunch of killings, but he does it under the blanket so they could still show it on TV. And not one camera guy said anything about it.
He's like, just keep shooting, Judd. Just keep shooting.
Keep rolling, dog.
I shouldn't say Judd, just keep shooting. He's shooting more people
now.
That's,
don't do that.
I need you to know, you just unlocked a core memory of the real world. Be like, for the longest time, I thought sex was just two people between the real world and The Sims. I thought sex was two people wrestling under a blanket.
Well, sometimes it still is, but when you want to have sex in front of TV cameras that your mom's going to see, do it on the real world.
If I'm wrestling under a blanket, I better walk away with some gold, baby. I'll become intercontinental champion of the sex room.
But very quick cuts. It's definitely a product of its time, but it still didn't make it bad, you know?
Yeah, it's set in the 70s like the original movie is. And this has an amazing cast. When you look at who's in this, they would all go on to do a bunch of cool stuff. Melissa George would go on, of course, 30 Days of Night. Ryan Reynolds is Ryan Reynolds. You also have Rachel Nichols, who's been in a lot of great stuff. And this was the film debut of Chloe Grace Moretz, who would go on to be in a lot of other horror movies. She was also Hit Girl in the Kick-Ass franchise. So
she's in Carrie. I think she was Carrie in the remake Carrie, which we're not covering.
So this was like her first role when she was 8 years old.
And as far as child actors go, usually I find kids mostly to be annoying in movies. But I was not annoyed. Nobody in this movie, I was like, oh, I hate this kid, you know?
I didn't like, disagree there. I didn't like the kid that played Michael, who was like the youngest kid.
Okay, why?
I just didn't like his face. Is that mean? I feel like that's kind of mean.
I don't think that's a critique on his skills. I think you just thought he was ugly.
I didn't say he was ugly. I just thought he was kind of weird looking.
Okay, well, as a little surprise, we've never done this before. I have Jimmy Bennett here on the show. He's been in the waiting room. Come on out, Jimmy.
He's actually in my house. He's actually fighting me right now. It's 3:15 a.m., and he does have a gun.
My name's Jimmy Bennett, and I feel like beating Gavin's ass all day today. Welcome to Jackass.
Oh, but yeah, I thought the kids were pretty good. For the most part, except for him, he's a fine actor. He grew up to be a fine-looking young man. But he's just, I don't know, maybe it's because I was also kind of odd-looking growing up that I just,
growing up?
It's not an indication of him. It's my own self-hate turned outwards.
He was in The Orphan with Vera Farmiga.
He was. I think he was one that was, I think she tries to, like, threaten him to, like, cut his penis off. The Orphan does. Esther.
But again, good cast. And like, I think from the jump, man, we get like a lot of, there's some horror movie tropes in this movie, but how do you feel like, cause we've got like the little girl talking to a ghost and I don't remember the ghost name, but that's
Jody.
A trope, Jody, where it's like, anytime you see a kid has an invisible friend and you just so happen to move in a new house, get out.
That's a ghost.
Go. Yeah.
Yeah. If your child did not have an imaginary friend before moving to a new house and then she finds one immediately, that is a ghost and they will try to kill you.
Tony says he doesn't like your haircut or your face. And Gavin doesn't like your face either.
But again, a theme of this, and this is a big theme in this, like we've said, the real enemy is real estate. The real mm-hmm. monster is real estate. It's too good to be true. And even they even ask, like, so what's the catch? And they're like, well, there was a slight... A small murder. And they're like, oh, okay. Well, like, how many people? Like, the entire family. Like, oh, shit.
The radon is a little high. And there was about six people murdered right above us. But other than that, like, it's got new windows. Great curb appeal.
Yeah. But the one thing that I kept noticing throughout this movie is this came out in 2005, and it bears a huge resemblance to Sinister. It's very much like Sinister.
How so? Please tell me.
It's very much like Sinister, where you have the little girl talking to a ghost child mm-hmm. who lived there before. You have a scene where he's in the basement watching old movies. And he's seeing, like, all these horrible things happening in the old movies.
The face change mm-hmm. In the movies.
And just, like, the overall aesthetic of the movie reminded me a lot of Sinister.
When did Sinister come out?
2012.
Okay, so I think it's safe to say that Sinister completely stole this.
Yeah, it stole everything from Amityville Horror. But it just reminded me that... This did what Sinister did like 7 years before. I think Sinister is a better movie. I think it's a much scarier movie. But this, I definitely saw the parallels between the two.
And there's some things that, you know, I think inherently when you watch old, whatever it be, Super 8 films, the graininess of it,
mm-hmm.
that's just kind of scary on its own, you know?
Yes.
Moving to a new house, you're kind of... Whether you're a kid or an adult, it's still kind of new because you're learning. It's not home yet.
Mm-hmm.
So anytime you can feel a little bit uncomfortable, and this house is like, it's huge. This is a big ass house and it looks cool.
Yeah. I would love to own a big house, but then it's a lot of house. It's a whole lot of house for this family to just have.
That's my favorite Led Zeppelin song, is A Whole Lot of House.
Oh, God.
That's how you know you're old, when I see like a house is big. I'm like, how much does it cost to heat this? That's how I know I'm not fun anymore. And I would love to see like the Amityville Property Brothers or so, like a house hunting show. But it's like haunted house hunting. Where they're all like, which house do you want to be murdered in, essentially?
Yeah. Where do you think you could spend eternity for a long time? You know,
babe,
what?
I really could see us just dying right here.
Look,
babe.
I say we make this show, we call it Unreal Estate, and we make it happen. Let's do it.
I think if we pitch it to Sci-Fi, I know we have a show.
I know. I mean, you have some clout now.
Yeah, I do.
Why aren't you throwing your weight around more? Go pitch this show to Sci-Fi.
Let me get the guys from Ghost Hunters on the blower, which is the phone.
This, though, is a very fast-moving movie. And let's talk about Ryan Reynolds and how he finds every excuse to be shirtless in this film.
Shirtless, and also to have his pajama pants just right above the stalk of the penis. Just, he's got the V muscles, and it's like, you're around children that aren't yours. Two of them are girls, or one of them is.
Yeah.
Pull your goddamn pants up and put a shirt on.
But if I look like him, I would never do it. Also, the stalk of the penis is arguably the best part of the penis.
Little D-neck.
But he is just wearing, like, when I wear pajama pants, I usually wear them up pretty, like, normal size. But he's like, no, I got to impress the fam.
Look at these. I'm wearing pajama pants right here.
I'm also wearing pajama pants right now.
Oh, shit.
Look at this. He's got little race cars on them and shit. Look at this. We're not a video podcast, so this is nothing for the audio version.
My thing popped out and your thing popped out.
I show my meat on stream.
That's only on Patreon, if you want to see.
You want to see my meat? Go over to Patreon.
Yeah, it was all flaccid and stuff. It was not even impressive.
It was actually flatter than play. He actually flattened it like it was getting a mammogram.
It was all mushed.
But Ryan Reynolds is shirtless the whole goddamn time. He's chopping wood in pajama pants.
Yeah.
He is, but I get it. Somebody, one of our Patreon subscribers, I have never heard this before. I don't know if it was used in the right context, but I posted in our Discord a photo of Ryan Reynolds. I was like, here's the plot of Amityville Horror summed up. And it's him like, and it's Ryan Reynolds like shirtless in the pajama pants. And Mikey3D, one of our Patreon subscribers, says, look at those cum gutters. And I don't know. I don't know if he's referring to the abs on him.
Or the V muscle.
Like the V muscle of like the of a woman's orgasm. I just don't know if I want to hear the term cum gutter ever again.
What did you Google when you put, what picture was it? Ryan Reynolds?
Are you looking up Ryan Reynolds cum gutter right now?
Yeah, I am. I'm not using that term. Chopping wood.
He sure was.
We need clarification on exactly what that means. Because, God, like, I'm only saying put a shirt on because I'm jealous, essentially.
Yeah, I'm going to Google. I'm going to Google this because I'm curious now.
God, the dude just ripped.
Okay. Okay. Urban Dictionary. Cum gutters, the V-shaped line leading from a man's hips to his dick, typically more defined if the man is fit and muscular.
I have no gutters.
You have cum bumpers like a fucking bowling alley.
It's a bowling alley. Yeah. And I got a 7-10 split going on.
You might want to get that checked out, my man.
Yeah, the doctor said I don't have long, long left. that term doesn't. I mean, the gutters, it doesn't flow anywhere. It just.
I just hate every spring I gotta clean out my cum gutters, just from the long winters.
Yeah,
just...
we're pretty backed up. Getting a lot of rain.
a lot of leaves in there, a lot of debris.
He's just shirtless chopping wood. And it's very, I said, it's very much like The Shining, where we can see that the house is working on Ryan Reynolds. It's breaking him down, putting him in a psychosis. You know, yeah. Like he's really trying to hurt his family, and it's not. It's quick because this movie's quick, but it's like they count it down in the movie. It's like, would they last 28 days or whatever
yeah.
in this movie?
Yeah. One of Melissa George's requirements is she's only in movies that count how many days she's been somewhere.
She could have been in The Shining.
Then, yeah. You know? She could have been. She lasted 28 days here and then 30 days in 30 Days of Night.
That's true. And then I'm trying to think of another example, but I'm not that funny. So let's keep moving.
we'll keep it moving along. But yeah, Ryan Reynolds is doing that. And then you've got, this movie has a lot of jump scares. It's a very boo style movie. But some of them got me. It's been long enough that I hadn't seen it that some of these jump scares were getting me on a regular basis.
Like the sink demon or whatever it was, the little kid goes to pee in the middle of the night, which when you're a kid... And you're like in a new house. It's scary.
Mm-hmm.
Just be in the middle and nobody's up, but you got to pee.
Mm-hmm.
And then he doesn't jump from it because he doesn't even see it. But we as the audience see it. It's just real quick. There's somebody all drooly and sticky right next to him. And then it goes to the next shot. But that's scary.
Yeah. The reason that ghost was there is because he peed directly into the bowl. He was being too loud. You have to you have to silence
it on the side.
You got to do it on the side. It's like your penis's silencer.
Yeah, you really want to make as much splatter as you can for your mom to clean up, or your wife. In my case,
but you've got the scene also with a great jump scare where Ryan Reynolds is putting his cum gutters to use, and he sees. I love that this is a term that breaks you.
It's Yeah.
But he's putting him to use, and like he sees a small girl hanging herself while trying to lay that pipe. And I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not going to be able to finish if that happens.
Because they're in a moment of passion.
Mm-hmm.
Cowgirl, by the way. In case you didn't want to watch the movie, but you want to hear us talk very intimately about it. And then it's like, you see, like, it's not enough to just see a ghost, but you got to see a child getting hanged.
Yeah.
Does he stop her?
Does he
stop? Or is he like, just finish up? Just...
No, he stops. He's like, oh, it'd be disrespectful to finish. Yeah, he stops. I don't think that's not for me. I don't want to be in no ghost room.
That's a no for me, dog.
Yeah. But throughout this whole, like, you start seeing the house work on him, and it's working on the entire family, because Jody, the little girl, is messing with Chelsea by Chloe Grace Moretz's character, and gets her go on the roof. And how she get up there to begin? Like, how do you get on the roof? If you ask me how to get on the roof of my house right now, I would have no idea how to do it.
I have Snoopy in the waiting area. He sleeps on his roof quite a bit. It's one of the, cause the house is huge, and you see the scene of the mom jumping up onto the roof and climbing essentially like on like one of the rain pipes, she's able to climb up. But that's just a fun scene because, you know, you think or hope you don't, they're not going to kill the kid, but it's such a high, the house is like three stories, four stories. Like,
yeah, that's how they keeping it clean.
I don't think you do. I think something's got to slip, but it's just a fun scene when you think the little girl's going to fall off the roof.
Yeah. Apparently, Chloe Grace Moretz did a lot of her own stunts, even though she was only 8 years old. I don't know if she did that stunt where they're like, we're going to put this 8-year-old up there. We'll put her on a harness, just let her wander around for a while.
I mean, who do you even get to stunt double for an 8-year-old? It's got to be a little person.
Maybe, or like a very tiny woman that's not a little person. Like, there's some short ladies out there.
That could be an 8-year-old?
I think so, yeah.
Name one.
Damn it.
You're such a shit talker. Why don't you name one?
Oh, you're a big, big fan of adult women look like 8-year-olds? Name three of them.
Name three bands.
Three? Does any three bands? Evanescence three times.
Ronnie James Dio, who resembled a little girl. He was so short.
Yes.
But yeah, we get the scene where, and then she's like seeing this ghost girl the whole movie. She, again, another trope where she's drawing pictures and they're like, who's that? And she's like, I'm not supposed to say. I'm leaving.
Yeah. Like, yeah, you don't want your kids keeping secrets about their imaginary friend, because that means the imaginary friend told them to keep secrets.
Yeah. Also, why are you trusting this stranger over me? Your imaginary friend.
I raised you in this house. But one of my favorite scenes in this, and the part that was like, what? There's a side plot with, like, basically Ryan Reynolds is there with the family because their dad died. Mm-hmm. The kid's dad passed away. He didn't just go out for like milk and not come back. He actually did die. So a lot of that, the ghosts are kind of preying on the grief of the family because they miss their dad. Like, the little girl ghost is like, hey, go on the roof because I want you to see your dad again. Mm-hmm. And so it's very, very, like, tugging at the heartstrings. But then you have the older son, Billy, who's kind of a shit. He's trying to make the adjustment, but he just can't. And then there is
he likes Kiss? Doesn't he like Kiss?
He loves Kiss. He loves the Knights in Satan's Service. Do you know that? That's what it stands for? Mm-hmm. My religious aunt told me that. So, got to be true.
I love that her, it's still like working on children is Kiss and not any of the new bands. She's still against Kiss.
She's like, if you say the word TikTok backwards, I think it's Kotkit. And that's actually Baphomet's name in the Book of Revelations.
We need to have your aunt on the podcast.
We do not. But you have this scene with Billy, and he's like, there's a whole subplot about him not needing a babysitter, and then they get him the hottest babysitter imaginable.
Who shows up to sit babies? With, like, just your midriff hanging out. Look, again, you could dress however you want, but you know you're going to be around children.
And this is a fertile boy. He's like 13, 14, which, is he too old for a babysitter?
Yeah, I guess, but then he's got to watch the... That's the other thing is, do the other kids need a babysitter? Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're just there in the house with the babysitter, you know?
Yeah.
What, did you have a babysitter when you were a kid?
No. No.
Why not? Because you had bad parents?
Well, yes, for a... For a plethora of reasons, but a babysitter was not one of them. But I just wondered, we never had a babysitter. It was like an affordable thing. For a lot of times, if my parents went out, my grandma would watch us.
Mm-hmm.
So that was like in-home care, basically.
Yeah, it'd be like my grandpa was that for me. But it was like, we never, it was never like a person I didn't know that would come watch us.
Yeah. Yeah.
That we knew of.
There was old Mr. Taffy, but but he always lived here.
Yeah, I got the best saltwater taffy on the block, kids.
Thanks, Mr. Taffy. Just reach into my pocket and grab it. Get in there.
Come on.
Yeah, she shows up, and he's like, "Hello, I'm Billy," and she's like, "I know." And then she is the worst babysitter imaginable, and at first I thought she was a ghost for a minute.
She brings not a full bong but a bong in the purse. Why wouldn't you just roll a J, my man?
You got to bring out your travel bong.
I guess because I said who dresses that way, and producer wise, like, it was the 70s or whatever it was, but like, again, this kid's gonna be horny.
Yeah.
So I guess it was a way to, like, get him to have a babysitter. But she also was like, I got a babysitter's name off the cork board at the grocery store.
Yeah.
I never heard of this person. Come watch my children.
I trust you fully. But you, like, okay, horny teen boy going for the babysitter. That's fine or whatever. Well, I was there with my teacher back then, let me tell you.
That's true.
But she's kind of also into him, it seems.
I don't, she's just a bad person to be a babysitter, essentially. And she had also, oh, I know the house. I babysat for the DeFeos.
Yeah.
Oh, the ones that were murdered here?
Yeah, so, and that's what's funny. Well, one of my favorite lines is Jody, the ghost girl, tells Chelsea, "You are a bad babysitter." And she's like, "Oh, I guess I was."
You're not. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. I just so. Yeah, then you have that. This movie has a lot of references to Kiss. Like they talk about Kiss for a very long time.
Yeah, because like they make a bet, and if she wins, she gets his Kiss poster.
Yeah, because they're talking about, some people say his tongue is fake. And she's asking, like, this 14-year-old boy, like, "Do you French kiss?" And I was like, what are you doing now?
I don't know how old this girl is, but I know how she doesn't look to be a teenager.
That's an adult woman.
Yeah.
But it's okay. It's okay.
It's the 70s.
It's the 70s. It was a different time.
Now, when that priest walked in the house, that's when I got scared.
I do think one of the scariest scenes does happen, though, with the babysitter when they put her in the closet.
And they're like, yeah, the big-ass closet upstairs. That closet's bigger than my room.
I know. I could keep so many sneakers in there. Think about it. You just walk in. Fat Joe could have so many J's in there.
Licking the shoes.
You are the only other person I've ever met who remembers this fucking obscure reference of Fat Joe on an episode of Cribs licking his shoes.
Well, we on the Field Trip podcast, you are on at least two or three episodes where we did MTV Cribs, like looked back at people's cribs. Mm-hmm. And on Fat Joe's episode, he has just a shoe room. And he's like, never worn before. And then he picks up a shoe and licks the bottom of it to prove that it's never been worn. Even if it's never been worn, it's still gross.
Yeah. It's like, I believed you, Fat Joe.
Yeah.
I swear. Yeah. Knowing me, I'd have an episode of Cribs and be like, never worn. And then I look and be like, that was when I stepped in dog shit. Uh-oh. Licked the wrong shoe today.
Yeah, here's my cat, never worn. What? So you don't have to lick everything, Joe.
I think as far as being traumatized in a beautiful walk-in closet, having a ghost girl put your finger in her bullet hole.
Yeah.
It's like, that's pretty intense.
Now, again, that's like the 2005 didn't hold up as well with the effects and stuff. But again, I get it.
Mm-hmm.
I get what you're trying to do. And it's, you know, having it, you know, put your finger in this bullet hole of the ghost girl. Yeah, I can see why it might be traumatizing of a girl that you also babysat.
Yeah. But yeah, that was a great sequence. I thought that was really fun. Let's talk about the Reverend Jeremiah Ketchum, who is the reason for this remake was allegedly the filmmakers or whoever published the book found more information about like what happened in the house. And that was probably basically MGM claimed the remake was based on new information uncovered during research of the original events. But George Lutz later claimed nobody ever spoke to him or his family about the project. When he so basically, MGM was like, well, we heard some new shit. And the original guy was like, no, you didn't. So they invented this character of, like, the Reverend Jeremiah Ketchum, who did, like, a bunch of, like, witchcraft and shit on Native Americans or something. And that
was it clear why he was killing people to, like, live longer?
I think so, yeah. He wanted eternal life, and he was, like, sacrificing them and did all these experiments in the basement. And not only do you have this giant four-story house, but then you also have this square footage in the basement as well.
That, yeah.
They got, I don't even think, it was listed on the realtor's website.
That's, I said exactly, it's like Barbarian where
yeah.
Justin Long's like, oh, I got so much extra square footage I can list.
Does Secret Pathway count as square footage for a basement?
And it's like, we get one of the whole plots is the house is freezing apparently to Ryan Reynolds, and he ends up staying in the basement because that's the only place in this goddamned house that's warm, and the freezer or the furnace rather just will light up randomly to show that the house is evil. And on IMDb it says that's actually the same furnace from Home Alone.
Oh, that furnace got a lot of work.
It's one of the best furnaces in the business because it was also the furnace from A Christmas Story. It not only does it do horror, but it does comedy too.
That's a range, but can it sing and dance? Is it a real triple threat?
No, it never made it to the bigs. But yeah. It's like they're breaking up, you know, the husband and wife, or he just starts living in the basement now, you know?
Yeah. You can't do that. If you move into a new house and your relationships become strained and then your husband's like, I'm going to live in the basement or the attic, your house is haunted. You should leave.
Yeah. It's that the trope of all our money's in this house. What do we do?
Yes. Again, real estate is the enemy. The DeFeo murders are a symptom of the real estate crisis we are living through. Okay.
God damn Zillow.
Big Zillow is behind all of this.
Big Zillow is my favorite rapper, by the way. He licks his shoes.
He licks the top of shoes, though. He's very different.
After he's wearing them currently.
Yo, just been walking on the subway all day. Gonna take a big lick now. I'm Big Zillow.
Yo, did you see Big Zillow's live stream? He showed his meat.
Showed his meat, licked a dirty ass shoe. Basically, as the movie goes on, Ryan Reynolds gets more and more crazy. He's snapping at the kids. He's just trying to fight everybody. And
what an asshole. He makes the kid hold the wood while he's chopping it.
Yeah, which is shirtless.
That's not more efficient. Just put the log on there and step back. Like, I don't need you trembling and then I miss. But that's also the scene is, oh, are you scared?
Yeah.
You
know? So, fun fact, Ryan Reynolds chose not to become close with his on-screen children. He was not mean or rude to them, just very distant. So distant, in fact, that the children often confided to those on the set that Ryan doesn't like us. Ryan said he didn't want to fall in love with the kids, and he did this so when he when his character started changing, he would have no trouble easing into verbal and physical abuse. Also, what I found out is my dad has been preparing for a part for a very long time.
Method acting. I was going to say my dad, too. I think we got more in common than we actually think, Gavin.
When my dad made me hold it to chop wood, I thought he was doing it just to be mean, but he was actually trying to be in the new Amityville Horror movie.
Yeah, he was building character.
And that character is sad.
I'm going to go out for smokes.
Yeah, so I thought that was interesting. But yeah, he's just... Ryan Reynolds really gets into these kids. Like, he tries to fight them all.
And by gets into them, you mean lays into them.
Yeah,
which
he's
is
just...
not better.
Yeah, like, he, at one point, the weird little boy is like, I found this in the bay basement. He's like, you mean my office? Don't go in the office. He's like, oh, God.
Does it say what he does for a job in this?
No, I don't think so. I assume professional handsome man.
Handsome and handsome.
Yeah. I'm a model. I'm a, probably a contractor. I assume if people don't tell me what they do for a living, there's a contractor.
I do construction.
Waste management. Yes.
And then there's also the boathouse, too.
Yeah. This house has everything. It's too much house. It's too much property.
With a boat that's already there. And it's also where Pennywise lives. There's red balloons.
Yes. Only 98 short of a wonderful German song to sing along to.
And for a good cereal, you need hearts and stars and horseshoes, clovers, and the rest.
And the blue moons.
Et cetera. And the blue moons. Which is booze, by the way.
I don't think they've added a new marshmallow to Lucky Charms in a while.
It's about time. Let's do the campaign. Let's get a headstone added. Heart, stars, and horseshoes. Clovers and headstones. What?
It
seems
be...
like a Count Chocula thing. No, we want it in this.
Is it going to be just for Halloween all year long?
We don't want these kids getting too happy. We want them to think about their mortality.
Yeah. He kills a dog because he starts seeing his kids and like the people around him as like demons.
Yeah.
So he kills a doggo, as you do.
Hated, and then he doesn't say anything about it.
Yeah, these kids never get closure about the dog. Like even
whatever
at the
Hank or whatever the dog's name. Yeah, he did. He ran off. He didn't even say that.
Yeah, even at the end of the movie, when things are going to be a little better, you assume at some point they're going to be like, "What happened to the dog, though?"
Oh, my bad, guys. And then it cuts to him in a confessional booth.
Listen, I know.
What had happened?
What happened was I thought the dog was a demon. I killed the dog. Also, somebody keeps peeing in my bed. I feel like it's retaliation for the dance-off we had a couple nights ago at the club. So we'll see where that
I'm
goes.
I'm just mad. They go out on the town while the babysitter's there. And then eventually stuff is too much. She goes and to see a priest.
Yeah. And the priest is in it very briefly.
And he's a guy that I'm like, I know this guy, Philip Baker Hall.
What is he from?
I don't know. I'm clicking on the he's in Bruce Almighty. He's in Boogie Nights.
Oh, okay.
He's like a guy that I'm like, oh, I know that guy.
Yeah.
I'm trying to see what movie he's in Midnight Run. Other stuff. He's a guy that like one of those guys that you know him, but you're like, I can't tell you what he's from exactly, you know?
Yeah. Priest shows up, does his priest stuff, like, I'll bless your house, and he just gets attacked by flies.
Like, he should have put up some of those strips to catch all the flies.
Yeah, and that was a big... That's, like, the only part I remember from the original Amityville Horror is just a scene with the priest and the flies taking forever.
And it's also in Scary Movie 1 or 2 that we covered way back when.
Mm-hmm.
When it's James Woods taking a shit.
And this gets to the point, they're like, well, we're going to have a bunch of flies fly out of the vent and just knock them down. And he's like, well, I'm out now. I'm done. Goodbye.
Your house scares me.
Yeah.
Bye. You know, I'm the one guy you could come to for this stuff, and I'm out.
Come back when you're having gay thoughts.
Yeah, I'll fix those or do something about them. I can't tell which. If it's Ryan Reynolds, I'll stop by.
Is it Ryan Reynolds having gay thoughts? Gay thoughts about me? Well, I'll come. we'll have to explore this deeper, more physically.
Just take your pants off.
Let me see them. Not going to say it again.
Even the house is so scary that the priest, he's run off. And then Ryan Reynolds, it's foreshadowed in the whole movie that, oh, there's like a secret room down there, and he finds where Mr. Ketchum tortured Indians in the basement of the house.
Yeah, and Ketchum was just trying to be the very best, like no one ever was, to train them was his real test. To train them was his cause, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a Pokemon reference because his name is Ketchum. You may have heard of Ash Ketchum.
Ash Ketchum, that's actually his brother.
He's the one you don't hear about.
Ryan Reynolds has been making caskets in the basement.
I wrote a note here. I go, those are some nice-ass coffins.
Yeah. Say, Dad, I couldn't help but notice that you made enough caskets for the whole family. What's going on? Even little ones for the little kids.
I see. Have we been chopping wood for our own caskets? Is that what we've been doing?
That's like when I was a kid, my grandma got me a life insurance policy and was paying on it monthly until she died. Thanks for bringing that up. But it was like, that was a gift that was given. That's like your uncle that's like, hey, you never know, man. I went ahead and made you a casket. Now you got to have this thing around all the time.
I do think they are some nice caskets, though. He could really half-assed it because he's like under a possession of the house, but he really put some effort into that. Like, it was very well lathed.
Mm-hmm.
It was very, that everything was very symmetrical. He put crosses on it, so they're going to go to heaven because they're Christians. So that's nice.
There's some, craftsmanship to these caskets before he murders his family.
Yeah, you got it. Well, if you're going to be there in there forever, I mean, you want to be comfy.
Well, you know, if you just would have worked as hard on his relationships as he did with these caskets, maybe he wouldn't needed them in the first place. But that's just me. That's just the Dr. Phil in me. So,
but then you have like the ending of he gets fully possessed. He tries to kill his family. Johnny. He gets the old shotgun out. I think for me the scariest part was the boat hair. Like the hair in the boat scene?
Oh, yeah, where her hair gets caught in the boat propeller.
I don't like anything to do with boats. I've only been on a boat a handful of times, but I'm always like, this is the part where I get sucked in the propeller and die.
Mm-hmm.
As I'm on the boat.
Yeah. Well, you're going to fall off and then, yeah.
Yeah.
You must love the movie, was it Ghost Ship?
Yes.
With the Mudvayne soundtrack.
Oh, God. Mudvayne should be in every movie.
You know, the cum gutters run down to your Mudvayne. My cum gutters connected to my Mudvayne. My Mudvayne's connected to my turd cutter.
My turd cutter's connected to my bar-bar-dang, bar-bar-dang, bar-bar-dang.
So she gets out of the propeller and then they get away on the boat because they knock him out. She hits him with the butt of the shotgun a couple times because he said, kill me.
Yeah.
I'll kill you.
Mm-hmm. It's a very kind of anticlimactic ending where all they have to do is leave. There's no big fight. We just have to get far enough away from the house on the boat. And that leaves so many questions for me. Do they try to sell the house? What do they do? They have to list it. They can't just keep paying on this house they can't live in. That's financially irresponsible.
Yeah, we're going to let the bank take it back after making... they're there for less than a month. Literally made no payments.
Are there lemon laws for houses?
I would hope so. Where it was like, yeah, this thing's a piece of shit. I don't know if it's like a house that's like 100 years old like this house, but...
Yeah, you know what they say about houses, though? It depreciates the minute you drive it off the lot.
As soon as you drive off the lot of the house. Yeah, what do you do in that situation? I guess it's better than killing your family, you know, file bankruptcy or whatever.
Yeah, I don't know, though. How much
Let's get Dave Ramsey on the line.
Financial peace of mind. All right, so what we're going to do is we're just going to pay off the first credit card first, get a second, third job, kill your family, and then just cut up your credit cards right now.
They should have, knowing them, they would have started an Airbnb. That's what today they would have done and said it was haunted, and then it would have been booked out the rest of the year.
I mean, that's what happens with, I know a lot of places that like ghost hunters have gone to, they'll like become Airbnbs and shit like that. And there's a murder tourism, murder tourism is super profitable.
Oh yeah. That like if they just would have had more people die at Blockbusters, they'd still be around.
I'm sad more people didn't die at Blockbusters. You're right.
Right here in the thriller section. That'll be $80 to sleep here for the night.
I want to die in the mystery section so nobody knows who did it.
I think, yeah, it was. Nobody knows. The stain is still here. We've used everything to try and get it out of the carpet.
And then you have the last minute jump scare, and you feel kind of bad for Jody the ghost girl. Because she's like, her friend is gone, she's crying, and then she gets sucked into the floorboards.
Yeah, nobody, it's not really solved. Nothing is done. Like, whoever goes there is going to get terrorized.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
But I guess that's the nature of this house is they just, the best conclusion and the most realistic is they got out, Jordan Peele.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that. Yeah, if you're in a haunted house, just boat far enough away and your family will be fine.
I mean, I don't hate it. I think, I don't remember what the IMDb score was now, so you can ask it, but mm-hmm. I remember thinking it's better than the score that it was given.
Yeah, I think, honestly, this is it's a very good movie. I liked it a lot more than I thought I was going to.
Yeah,
just based on everything, because I remember it being okay, but I was like, this is it's a banger of a movie. I don't regret seeing it. I would watch it again. It's not one I'd put on a lot, but no. I think it's fun. Okay, let's see here. Stop telling me to enable ads. Rotten Tomatoes. I don't want ads.
For, you know, Ryan Reynolds, he's usually the funny, quirky, charismatic guy, and we saw a different side of him of being an asshole, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like seeing asshole Ryan Reynolds. All right. So what do you think this 1979 version has on Rotten Tomatoes?
The 79 version probably has a 92.
It has a 31.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, it is not well-liked.
For as much as people talk about that movie...
Yeah, you would think people love it. And then what do you think that the remake has?
I saw it, and I don't remember, but 63%.
24.
Okay, well, I guess I'm way off.
Everybody
both of
hates
them, so.
These. Everybody, I don't know why people don't like them, but I think people have come around to appreciate the 2005 one a little bit more since it came out, at least.
Yeah. Is this a party movie?
I think it could be. I think it's simple enough. I think people will watch it because they like Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah, I agree.
Do you want to know a fun fact about this?
Please tell me.
This was the last VHS tape released by Dimension Films.
Oh.
Yeah.
Before it was, yeah.
Do you know what
the...
Go ahead.
No, you go.
Do you know what the last VHS tape ever was?
I was gonna Google it. Titanic.
No, Titanic on VHS. There's a guy on TikTok who collects Titanic on VHS.
He's trying to get as many copies as he can.
Yeah, on VHS.
The double VHS.
Yeah, it's two tapes. The last Hollywood movie to be released on VHS was 2006, A History of Violence, directed by David Cronenberg.
I've never seen that.
You never seen A History of Violence?
No, I haven't.
It's got...
seems educational, and I'm out.
It's got Ed Harris in it.
Okay.
And it's got Ed Harris, Maria Bello, and Viggo Mortensen in it.
Oh, well, he's the king.
Yeah, old Aragorn, King of Gondor.
Was this scary?
Yeah, it actually kind of was.
Yeah, it had some pretty good scares in it. Mm-hmm. Did anybody die in this?
The DeFeo family.
Well, yeah, they don't count. Nobody cares. The dog. The dog is the best kill.
The dog. I think if you got to do best kill, you got to do the entire DeFeo family at the beginning of the movie.
Yeah, what a way to... Nobody... would you sleep through a shotgun blast in the next room?
No, I'm waking up. I wake up for a lot of shit.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So you definitely wouldn't sleep through a shotgun blast.
Absolutely not. I would wake up and be like, ah.
Yeah, the best kill is this, because it's like, wow, you just killed your whole family in not a quiet way.
Yeah, if you're going to kill me, don't wake me up before you do it.
Yeah, just, yeah. Hey, come in. We need to talk to you, and we're going to fire you when you get here. Just kill me so I don't have to wake up.
And what was your oh shit moment?
The scene in the bathroom with the face next to the little boy.
And I'm going to go with the closet scene.
Okay.
Yeah. If you like the Amityville Horror, what would you recommend?
Oh, the Conjuring movies. They probably do it better.
Yeah. I'd do The Conjuring. I would do the series Haunting of Hill House.
Yes.
Good old Mike Flanagan. I think any haunted house movie is going to be fine for this probably. But yeah, I think The Conjuring.
I'd say The Changeling. We need to cover that sometime.
Okay. And then also Sinister. Because Sinister, I recommend all the time.
And there's an Annabelle Comes Home movie, which has similar vibes to it. I don't think it's the best movie, but it's similar.
Those Annabelle movies are actually really fun. I like the Annabelle movies.
The second one's the best one.
Yeah.
Annabelle Creation.
Yeah, Creation's great. Comes Home is good. The first one is by far the weakest.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But they still made it.
They sure did.
Is that it? Is that all the questions?
I think that's all. I think that's it.
When you get to heaven, what do you hope God says?
What?
That's the Inside the Actor Studio questions is the last one.
I'll be
James Lipton.
I don't know. That's a... Oh, God. I'm going to have an existential crisis now.
That's deep. How's them cum gutters? What are we watching next week?
We are going to... We have two episodes left to wrap up this extra spicy, supersized remake season. Next week, we are going to be watching Friday the 13th from 2009, and then in 2 weeks, we're wrapping this season up with one of my favorite remakes of all time, the 2003 Texas Chainsaw Massacre remake, Jessica Biel in a white tank top, fellas. Am I right?
Oh, don't get me started. I don't know if I like Ryan Reynolds better. No, I know I like Ryan Reynolds better, but...
He just seems like a very gentle lover.
Yeah, I think he'd take care of you. So next week we're going to watch Friday the 13th, the remake.
Yeah.
So, and as always, you can get these episodes early, on Patreon as well as bonus episodes, and be involved in the conversation over there and help us pick the next season or at least the next movies we're going
to
watch.
Yeah. Patreon.com/ They're Coming to Get You.
You just said it, but I'll say it again. They're coming to get you.
Barbara!
They're coming to get you. They're coming for you, Barbara.
They're coming to get you.